Matthew chapter 1, and boy, I get to go last. And so pretty much everything I was going to talk about has already been mentioned, but it's okay. It's good to hear things over and over again. So anyway, so Matthew chapter 1, but it's just a time of year. It's been well brought out. Christ, the arrival of the King is on people's minds. And the Western countries especially might view this as the celebration of Christ. And that's a great thing. It's been brought out. But I just want to remind us, just remember, this is not, and it's been mentioned, it's not a biblical holiday, okay? It's not a holy day. And we can't just make a holy day. God is the only one that can make anything holy, okay? So we want to, if anything, we can call this a tradition. And that's fine. It's the tradition if we want to hold to it, or if it's our tradition not to celebrate, that's fine. You can go to Romans 14 and read in verse 5, one person regards one day above another, and another regards every day alike. So each person must be fully convinced in his own mind, it says. And that's okay. The thing about it is, why do we do what we do? And so it's fine. I don't mind it. I was raised in a family that celebrated Christmas, and it's fine. For us today, it's good. It's good fellowship, good food, and naps. What's not to like, right? So I can do that. But what I do want to focus on a lot tonight is that people really don't emphasize why Jesus was born. He was born to bring the kingdom, right? And so we'll look at that tonight. We're going to look at, he was born for a purpose, and that purpose was to bring, usher in the kingdom of God. So let's have a quick word of prayer. God in heaven, we do honor you as we gather tonight, and as your chosen race, your royal priesthood, a people set apart, it is important for us to remember our purpose. And as we work through these scriptures tonight, I pray that the emphasis would be on that there is a king that we serve, and as a part of the kingdom, we are citizens of that kingdom, and that we would live accordingly. And in order to do that, we have to have the proper picture of that. So I pray that you'd be with me to deliver that message from your word. And it's in Christ Jesus' name through which I pray and give thanks always. Amen. So I can remember studying with Kevin as a new Christian, and he's emphasizing he wanted to do a study on the kingdom. I can remember, well, that's great. That sounds good. What's the relevance of a kingdom? I mean, yeah, of course there was a kingdom of heaven. I understand that. I didn't understand really the relevance, though, until much later. I don't understand why, if you think about the United States of America, we are a sovereign nation here, right? Or at least that's the idea, anyway. It's supposed to be, right? And a whole bunch of other nations in the world, too. They're all, have the similar idea. They have their borders. You have to do things according to their regulations. You have to have a visa or a passport if you want to visit. They all have their own little things. It's their own little sovereign nation, and that's the idea behind a sovereign nation, and that's a big deal. It really is. And what the whole idea of the prophecies of concerning the Messiah was that he was going to be bringing in a kingdom. Okay, and you might say, well, that's cool. What does that really mean? What does that really mean to us? Us as humans living on this ball of dirt. What's the relevance for that? And so when you look at it, it is a big deal. It's a big deal also where we live in this world. Where we live is a pretty big deal. And you break it down and you look at some of the things that are going around the world, all you have to do is pay a little bit of attention, right? And especially in today's world where you can turn on a video on your computer, on a TV, or wherever you're at. I mean, you can literally look across the world and see what's happening in someone's life. And the terror that someone is, whatever's going on in their world. Okay? For us, all we got to do is look at our southern border, you know, and realize that there's thousands and thousands of people. You know, this time last year, in 1 month, there was over 170,000 people that poured into this country illegally. In 1 month. In this situation, you know, they're pouring in here, and the current administration is allowing this, right? They bring these people in, and then they bus them somewhere else, or they'll fly them to another state, somewhere to live. But what I see, first off, when I see this, and my heart goes out to these people, because this is their hope in the world. Coming to America, that's the hope. That's the hope that they have in this world. We need to get to America. I can remember my wife telling me stories about when she was growing up. I thought the dream was just to get to America. And if we can just go to America, America's the hope. And then she quickly found out once she was here what's really going on. It's not the hope. You know, when we use physical comparisons a lot to understand spiritual things, right? The physical experiences give us help and help us to understand spiritual concepts. And that's what's communicated in the Bible. That's what the parables are all about, right? It's physical examples making a spiritual or a heavenly application. And we can see that. We understand that. And well, for us that live in America, it's like, well, where do we go to escape? You know, I think most of us that have grown up here, I mean, there's no place that I'd rather live. You know, there's no place that I'd rather live on earth, but this is not the hope. America is not the hope. So I feel sorry for these people. You know, you see the pictures of these people, and it's pitiful. One, they've probably traveled several hundred miles just to have the opportunity to come into this country. They've liquidated literally everything they have, what little they did have. They're in great danger. You know, they're doing whatever they can to get here, carrying what little possessions they still have. Kids on their shoulders. You know, they're holding onto each other, trying to cross the Rio Grande. You know, the great danger. And sometimes these people are sending their kids up ahead of them by themselves, so that they can follow them eventually and get here. Would you do that? Would you do that? Send your kids by themselves to America just because that's the hope? Would I do that? I mean, someone has to be really desperate to do that. You must really think that this is your last-ditch effort in this world. If we can just get to America. It's sad. It's really sad that this place is someone's hope, that they're gonna take such desperate measures. Okay? That is not the hope. The hope is a kingdom that can't be shaken. That's the hope of the world. The thing is, and this hope has been around for 2,000 years. It hasn't changed. And the prophecies from long before, nothing's changed. It's that this is the hope of the world. We're talking about the Messiah and the kingdom to come. That needs to be the hope of the world. That's generally what's emphasized. When the angel told Mary of the birth of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, we're finally there. We'll look at it in verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. This is our hope. Because it's not about going to some foreign country. This is literally to escape out of our own skin, out of our own self. That's the hope. Get me out of here. It's not a physical place that we're going. It's not a physical place. And so we can't have a physical mindset. It's just not going to work. But we will be challenged and we will be changed. Bible says so. We're going to be radically changed. And this is the hope of the world. To put off the mortal. And to put on the eternal, scriptures would say. To come out from the natural man to a spiritual man. From the things that ail us. What torments us, where our fears lie, our uncertainties and our doubts. That is what people are going to be able to escape from. But they can't escape from that, those things in a physical sense. In verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. You know, right out of the gate, and we'll look at this since we're right here in Matthew. When you look at chapter 3, verse 2, John the Baptist was the forerunner, right? He was 6 months older than Jesus. They were actually related. Did you know that? They were related. What was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now that really meant something to them, right? The fulfillment of prophecies, a new nation, them being the head, not the tail, ruling under David, the Messiah, the son of David. Okay, John got locked up. John got locked up, so Jesus picked up the message right there. And after John was in prison, and we see in John, in Matthew 4, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the message. And this is a big deal. This meant something to them. You know, I just mentioned our southern border. You don't have to look around there and see that there's things that are messed up in the world. Look at what happened in Afghanistan. Crazy things happening there. People were so desperate to get out of there, they were hanging on the side of planes as they were taking off. Can you imagine being so desperate to get out of a place that you try to hang on to a plane that's taking off? Desperate, desperate people. True desperation. You know what? I think I'd rather repent, be immersed for the forgiveness of my sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What do you say? Sounds like a little bit better idea than grabbing onto a plane as it's taken off. All those desperate, desperate people begging, trying to climb over the fences just to be taken out of there. Right? Because they knew what the Taliban would do to them. They knew what was coming. And that's a physical place. It doesn't even compare to the place where the flame is never quenched and the worm dieth not. Where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Right? Was it last year? We saw 170,000 Russian troops right at the Ukrainian border. Can you imagine looking down the street and seeing that? Can you imagine looking down your street and seeing a tank with armed soldiers ready to invade? Can you imagine that? And how do you think that played out for them? It wasn't good. It wasn't pleasant. And you know, this stuff, it's not real for Americans somehow. It's not real for Americans. We are under attack, though. Make no mistake. This place is coming down. What do you think Americans would think if they looked down? If we looked down to Mexico and instead of a bunch of Mexicans, saw about a couple million Chinese lined up? It would be real, real quick. So when is it going to become real for us? When is it going to be real to us? You know, for the Jews in World War II, when did they realize? Wait a minute, do what? Get out here in the street, line up. Get into this train car. What? You know, that wasn't 1,000 years ago. That's basically in our lifetime. When is it going to become real? When is it going to become real for us? The prophecies concerning the coming of the king, a sovereign nation to be established so people would have a place to go, a place to escape to. A place of hope. That's what the birth of Jesus is all about. Hope. When they saw that star, that indication, the sign, even Herod didn't know. He wanted to know from the wise men, right? We heard about it this morning. The wise men who were in the east, they saw the star. That's why they went there, right? to search the record. And that's what Herod wanted to do. He wanted to see. And actually, what he knew is that there were supposed to be two kings in Judea. But in his mind, there was only room for one, right? And that's why it was brought up this morning. That's why he did what he did. Steve Doty likes to say, you don't hear about that in the Christmas songs or in the greeting cards. And going and killing all the two-year-old and younger boys. Killing all those kids. You don't hear about those things. Herod sent his soldiers down there and just to slay every male boy. Kill every male child, 2 years and younger, from the time determined by the wise men. King is a big deal. The king is a big deal. You got a king, you got a kingdom. You got a sovereign nation. You know, you hear Brother Steve talking about Belarus in his updates. What a messed up place that is. That's been in an uproar for a long time. Brethren caught in the middle of it and died. Villages burned. You know, it really doesn't matter where you live. There is no safety here. Safety is in the kingdom of God. You know, it does become relevant in our lives, though. There's no place on earth where you're safe. There's no place throughout history. You understand that? No place on earth is safe. It was never supposed to be safe. That was never the intention. It was always the kingdom of God. That's our safety. That's where you're going to be safe. The angel, let's turn to Luke. Luke chapter 1. You know, the angel is talking to Mary in verse 30. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." 2,000 years ago, the kingdom came. Right? We know that. To be forever without end. And it's still in effect right now as we speak today. And so concerning this kingdom, this is pretty revealing. You know, John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias, you know, the vision that he saw, the angel, right? Went up to the temple to burn incense, and the angel told him he was going to have a son, right? And you know how John the Baptist was the forerunner. So this was a prophecy concerning John. And then right when the child is born, the angel, because he caused him to be mute, he said, "You're going to be mute because you didn't believe what you were told." And so we pick this vision up in verse 64, after his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, he doesn't know any of this empirically, you know, by experience or observation. He's prophesying, right? He's telling force, but God is speaking through him. In verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets." How long? From the old, all right? From the beginning. For what purpose? Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. That never happened. Or did it? He's prophesying. He said a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. We're talking the Messiah here. He'd been speaking about the holy prophet since the world began. Very intentional, right? This is what you're waiting for. This is what you're looking for. Repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is it. This is it. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Really? Really? Well, let's see. What happened to John the Baptist when he was born? Got his head cut off. Got his head lopped off. How's that for starters? John the Baptist gets his head lopped off. If you got friends like that, man, who needs enemies, right? What happened to then after that? What happened? Well, fast forward. What happened to the Messiah? He's hanging on a tree. He's hanging on a tree. Cross, dead. Who put him up there? God's people did. He dead. The Jews persecuted the Christians. When did that stop? What about the Jews themselves? Well, in 70 AD, they were flattened by the Romans. Okay. We should have salvation from our enemy. What? Who's we? Who's that to? Who's that about? We should have salvation from our enemy? Is that the Jews? The Jews were annihilated, right? What about the Jews in the 40s? How about the Nazi concentration camps? Were they delivered from their enemies? To grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Did that ever happen? Yeah, actually it did. Because we got to understand, what is the kingdom? Who are God's people? Our hope is not in this world. Never was. The prophets been prophesying about this since the world began, and for sure at least the last 2,000 years, this hope has been here for a purpose. I feel sorry for those people packing up everything they own, grabbing their babies and the old ladies, walking 1,000 miles to come to this place. To come to this place? If they really understood this, they would never have left home. If they understood and saw the spiritual, they never would have started their journey. All these people making this perilous journey for nothing. For nothing. The kingdom of God is here. It's the church. It's you. It's us collectively. And it's around the world. Circles the globe. That's the kingdom of hope. But they don't know that. And look, it isn't just about going to a church building for a couple hours a week and warming a pew. People have bought off on the idea of Christianity, and they think that the hope is that they just go to church on Sunday. You got to go to church. They're missing the whole deal, aren't they? I know some people, they don't get the spiritual side of things, and that's okay. He said, I don't get that. Okay, well, that has to be unpackaged, and we can do that. That's why it's the most important Bible study that we can do with people is proving that the Bible is real. It's the real word of God, so they can be confident, so that they can be convinced and assured, Scripture would say. Okay, well, I believe that's the word of God, sure. Okay, then. Of course, you turn to Scriptures and it says it's impossible for God to lie. Well, okay. Do you agree with that? Yeah, I agree with that. You agree that it's impossible for God to lie? Yeah, I agree with that, yeah. Okay, so the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is truth. Jesus said Scriptures can't be broken and God can't lie. You agree with that? Yeah, I agree with that. Did you agree with that the emphasis of the Scripture is on the spiritual? You see these things? Yeah, I see that it says that. I agree with that. I don't understand it. I see that it says that. I don't understand it. Well, we can work with that, can't we? That's our job. Okay, we need to unpackage that and help them understand where the true hope in this world is. That's what faith is all about. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, right? It's not about tangible, I guess. But it actually is tangible, just, you know, if our faith is in the right place, if we have the right picture. Those who have eyes to hear, what? Those who have eyes to hear. Those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, it becomes real. Whew, it must be getting late. It's real to us, right? That's where we live. Where are we living? We living down here in this dirty dirt ball, mud hole? No, our hope isn't here. Our hope is there. Where are we living? God is the creator. He made man. He made us. What, for hope in this world? No. He allows us because of and through moral, our free moral agency to choose, though. As I mentioned, he sets before us life and death and says, choose life. Choose life. Choose between good and evil, life and death that he sets before us. So part of this grand plan, because it's a short period of time, but we're gonna be here for a while. The bottom line is he's taken us to an eternal kingdom, an eternal habitation, to dwell with him forever. Do we see that? If we see that, then we have hope, true hope, a living hope. The thing is, we have to be purged, right? Before we get there, we have to be purged, and this is where that's done. This is where that's done. And boy, does it get intense, doesn't it? It gets pretty intense. Just think a minute about the people that are so desperate to get out of where they're living that they're dying in that journey. They're willing to die. You know, in Guantanamo Bay, on the fence line between the Cuban border, those people trying to run across there, that thousand meter space there, and they get shot in the process. Just trying to run to the border, to the U.S. Naval base there. They shoot them down. You shoot them down like dogs. Sometimes they get caught in the barbed wire fence. You hear the boom, 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 trying to shoot them. You got to be pretty desperate to do that. Pretty desperate to want to escape that situation that you're in. Right? It doesn't matter where we live. Cuba, Afghanistan, Mexico, wherever. There is no safe place for man to dwell. Not in this physical existence. There is no safe place. So, when is it going to become real? When does it become real? Because it is real. It's very real. You know, we've talked about it. The darkness is easy to see, right? The darkness out there is easy to see. The light that shines down from heaven, that has to be in packaged. And who else is going to do that? If not us, who? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 28, truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The kingdom's here. What's he saying? When he says that it's at hand, he's saying it's coming in your lifetime, right? In Mark chapter 9, verse 1, this is just the companion passage. Truly, truly, I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in this kingdom. Right? The kingdom is here. It would also say in Luke 17 and 20, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God is coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look there, or here it is, there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The New King James would say that it's within you. The kingdom is here. You see, it's not a physical thing, right? And people roll their eyes. Oh, it's a faith thing. Oh, yeah, okay. Right. You got it. You need to understand something. As horrible as that looks, when you see people sacrificing their lives, their children, to get to America out of desperation, if you would see that, if they could see the spiritual side of things, they would realize that the kingdom of God is worth a lot more. It's worth a lot more than the journey they're on, with much better return. A much better return. And so we, oh boy, I got to cut this short. All right. Let's turn to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, let's see. Where do we want to go? And I just lost my place. All right. But I think it's 15. Oh, yeah. At 20 and verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." So she goes off to tell them, right? Where did he go? I like the Daniel chapter 7, and I know some people would say, would go to the Mount Olive for this, but I like Daniel chapter 7, if you want to turn there real quick. Daniel chapter 7, it gives us a vision, a night vision, right? In Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, as he said, he's watching the night visions, and he said, "I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven," and this is the angelic realm, right? "One like a son of man coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." That's what Daniel saw, right? Because the same day, Jesus appears back to the apostles after he told Mary to go tell them that I'm ascending to the Father, right? And your Father, my God, your Father, my God, your God, and he disappears, right? The very same day at evening, looking in verse 19, in John 20. "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And he said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. As if you forgive the sins of any, their sins will be forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained.'" The Holy Spirit could not be given until Jesus was glorified, right? According to John 7. So the Holy Spirit couldn't be given until he was glorified. Well, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," right? Now he went to receive a kingdom, and he received it. And then he receives authority as he parts from and gives them the Great Commission, right? We're familiar with that in Matthew chapter 28. He says, "And Jesus came down and spoke to him, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, immersing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" All authority had been given to him, he says, "and I haven't had... Go ye to every nation, bring to them, and according to the prophecies of Isaiah," I think this is Isaiah 43, actually, but we don't have time to go there. Look, the point is that our focus can't be here in the flesh. Our focus can't be in the physical. There's no hope in this world. There's no hope for anyone. And the thing is that Jesus was sent for a reason. He was sent to bring a kingdom. We are the citizens of that kingdom. And we serve the King that came. But again, it's not about Jesus lying in a manger. He brought to bring the kingdom, and he was given all authority and all dominion in a kingdom that will never end. And so we have to make sure that people have the opportunity to understand that they can have the hope that they were intended to have. No one, God has sent, it wasn't God that is sending people to hell. It's the choice that people make. He said that he wants for none to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And so that's the message that we need to take to this dark, dark world that has no hope. All right? So thank you.